We welcome you to Grace Bible Church today. We're glad that you are here. And our call to worship today, we're in Acts chapter 19, our passage where we're going to be centered today in our preaching. And we see the Apostle Paul returning to the church at Ephesus. He had left there at the end of the second missionary journey. The seed of a local church was planted there. And then after going back to Jerusalem, he goes back to Ephesus and spends a lot of time there. And we're told in verse 8, "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." It's interesting there that the response by most of the Jews there was negative. And he turns again to the Greeks and focuses on them for a space of 2 years, communicating. And I want you to see the subject of what he was sharing with them, and that was disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, the changes that had taken place since Jesus Christ had ascended back into heaven, the changes that had taken place since Pentecost, and bringing the Old Testament economy in their minds to a stopping point and the beginning of the New Testament economy. You can't have a New Testament until you have the death of a testator. And the death of the testator was Jesus Christ. And he rose again bodily from the tomb. And so a New Testament was begun. And he's sharing with them those changes. And the response is, we don't want any part of it. We don't think that anything's changed. We want to continue in our Old Testament thinking and ways. You know, whenever God changes how he does certain things, we have to change with him. Now you say, well, God never changes. God can change how he deals with people because he did change. He shared with the Apostle Paul things that were kept as a mystery during the Old Testament. And he shares with Paul the changes that would take place and the emphasis upon a Gentile ministry. And so we have to be flexible, as one Scottish preacher once said, at Bob Jones University Chapel, said we have to be flexible in the hands of the Holy Spirit. God needs to be able to move and work in our hearts and lives, and if we're bucking and stubborn and fighting against that, then we're not going to know. We're not going to enjoy what God has for us. I'm so thankful for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He was a patient man, just ministering in difficult places, ridiculed, mocked, scorned, thrown in prison, beaten. He was a man that was submitted to God's Holy Spirit. He endured the price of being a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Lord used him in a mighty way to encourage. And we're going to see that today as he deals with 12 men that had not received the Holy Spirit, this patient working with these individuals to bring them to a clear understanding of the gospel of the grace of God. I'm thankful for patient men like Paul. May we be patient as well as we minister to souls all around us each and every day.
Let's take our hymn books and begin with 416 this morning. 416. And think about our future home in heaven. Oh, that will be glory for me. 416. Let's stand together to sing.
Glory for me.
say your prayers. Brother Patrick comes and leads us this morning.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning that you've brought us together again to hear your word preached and taught in Sunday school and the morning service to follow, and to lift you up in songs of praise and worship. We're thankful to all be together again. We pray, Lord, that you would watch over those that are traveling this morning. Many of us are on vacation, and I pray, Lord, that you would give them safety as they go all their different ways and do all the driving and flying. And I just pray that you would get everybody back safe and on time. I pray, Lord, for those that have illnesses that need your help and your grace this morning, Lord. We thank you, Brother Richard. Pray, Lord, that you would be with him and that you would strengthen and encourage him and that you would help him to get through these problems that he's having and get back on track again. We pray, Lord, that you would watch over all those in the summer camp program. I pray that you would give safety there to all the young people that come and are involved in that. I pray that you would give all the teachers and instructors wisdom. I pray that your name would be lifted up in the Bible times and that the Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of the young people and that many of them would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We pray for the construction that's going on now with the school building, Lord, that everything would be completed on time there, that that building would be open and available for use this fall when school starts. And we pray that you would be honored and glorified by everything that's taught and that's done there. We pray for a little Alex that's recovering from this emergency appendectomy that he had. I pray, dear Lord, that you would give healing to him. I pray that he would be able to recover completely and quickly from that surgery. We pray also for Paul, the bacterial infection that he has, Lord, that you would give the doctors wisdom in prescribing the right antibiotics for that. And we pray that he would be healed and he would recover from that quickly. We pray also for the upcoming T-Ball World Series, Lord, that you would be honored in what's done there. I pray that people that don't know you would see Christ lifted up and see what he done for us in providing the salvation for us that we could never have attained ourselves. And we just pray that you would be with us through the service to follow. I pray that you'd give our pastor wisdom as he preaches your word. I pray that you would open our hearts to receive it. And I pray that everything that we do and say here today would be done in a way that pleases you and bring you honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and we'll go now to number 469 as we continue to sing. 469. I will sing verses 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2 of Not My Will, number 469.
Thank you.
545 for our last song this morning. 545, Each Step I Take, number 545. And we'll sing the first and the last.
Every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in the heavens and those on the earth, and even the ones who reject his name, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords. At the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied.
Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, we're continuing in our series concerning the third missionary journey and how God leads. And we're going to be dealing with a subject this morning which emphasizes the transitional nature that is found in the book of Acts, a moving from an Old Testament economy to a New Testament economy. One of the striking differences was the fact that individuals in the Old Testament were not filled or possessed by the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament era, Christians, believers, are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the moment that you become a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your body. And by the way, He's a person, not a fluid. There's some people that teach that the Holy Spirit is like fluid and that He leaks out of us, and we have to find ways to plug the holes so that He doesn't leak out of us. He's a person, folks. He's a person of the Holy Spirit. And He's there, and He lives within the believer. But in this period of time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was a transition period where there were still Old Testament saints that were not possessed of the Holy Spirit. Now, this would eventually become, by the time we get to the end of the book of Acts, when believers came to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit immediately came to them. But we learn in chapter 19 that that was not so at this particular point, that there were some who were believers, like Abraham, like the Old Testament saints, that were not possessed with the Holy Spirit, but instead just believed by faith. How was Abraham saved? The Bible says he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Was Abraham not really saved because he didn't have the Holy Spirit at that time? No. The Bible says that Jesus Christ went into captivity and preached and delivered out of the Abraham's bosom those that believed on him, and they were taken to heaven. So there, understand the transition between the two economies, Old Testament economy and the New Testament economy, the gospel of the grace of God, the being possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. You have to understand, don't read into the past what you know in the present. It's not fair to the people that lived in that time. I hear people that make comments from time to time. I follow a few Civil War Facebook pages because I like to keep up with historical finds. They're finding stuff all the time. Stuff buried in the ground. Metal detectors find all kinds of things of that nature. And there was one person that kept remarking about how crude everything was. And their belt buckles were so crude. And their haversacks were so crude, and their guns were so crude, and having to do all the wadding and the gunpowder and the musket ball and all that kind of stuff was just so crude. And someone said they were living in a different time. All right? They were living in a different time. And if you would ask them, do you think that this is crude? They would have said what? Man, this is cutting edge. They had, you know, hydrogen-filled balloons floating over the battlefields where they could observe what was going on. That was cutting edge back then. If somebody puts a balloon up in their backyard today so they can see what's going on in Milton, first of all, they're going to get a visit from the police, and then they're going to get a visit from the federal government because you're flying a balloon without permission. And everybody say, what's going on with you? Have you ever heard of Google? You know, have you ever heard of the Earth search where you can actually go in space and you can look over your... I've seen pictures of my yard and I wished I'd raked it before they took the picture. Satellite pictures. Understand, when you're living in a certain time, we're living right now. Let's launch ourselves 100 years into the future. Hopefully we're going to be in heaven. Will things be different there? Oh, yeah. We'll be saying, I miss AI. I sure miss my house. We had it so good in Milton. Oh, I miss going out and cutting the grass. There won't be any statement like that because you're going to be in the glories of heaven and it's going to be cutting edge. We'll be able to move about without the aid of rockets, jets, or planes. How about that? We'll say, man, that was old-timey flying on jets. That was old-timey flying SpaceX. Man, we could move from the earth to the New Jerusalem without any trouble. Understand something. Don't read into the past what you know in the present. You'll get yourself into trouble. So, let's see what happens when Paul arrives there at Ephesus. Some things that he takes note of. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, followers of God, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. Put yourself in the time, right? In their minds, Jesus hadn't come yet. They're thinking about one to come, because John was the one who led the way to understanding about the one to come. But they're stuck in the past at this point. Understand that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with languages and prophesied. Right? When you see that word tongues there, it's languages, known languages. Now, someone might not understand it. I don't understand French. I know what a French fry is. And there's a few French words. I know what hors d'oeuvres are. Right? That's my big sweep of French knowledge. There are people that know French. They can understand it. People know Spanish. People that know Russian. People that know Bengali language. All these different languages in the world. They're unknown to us, but they're known to others. They were able to communicate and speak in other languages, we're told. And all the men were about 12. So there's these 12 men. They're at Ephesus. They are believers, but they're not possessing the Holy Spirit of God. Now stop for just a moment. All kinds of debate. Oh, these were unbelievers. And yet they're called disciples. Put yourself in the time. We're transitioning from Old Testament, right, to New Testament. Now, all of us are transitioning from what we used to be when we were little. Brother Grover, did you know that he used to be young? That was a long time ago. All right? You remember when you were 5 years old? All right? Have you transitioned in those years? Yes, we have. We're not what we were. Some of us had hair. Some of us had different color hair. I've had 3 different colors in my life, and I never dyed my hair once. You say, how can that happen? I was a towhead through the 7th grade, blonde hair. Then it transitioned to brown hair. Then it transitioned to white hair at 39. And I don't know what the next phase is, other than I am thinning out a little bit. All right? I'm approaching the Grover Patrick status. Right? We all have a transition that we're involved with. We don't look like we did when we were younger. We're a little heavier, hopefully a little wiser. We're all transitioning. We're still the same person, but we've transitioned with time. Everybody understand? All right. Now, is God the same person in the Old Testament? Is Jesus the same person in the Old Testament? Yes. Is salvation always been by grace? Absolutely. But a few things have changed. God decided to give the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. He prophesied that. You remember that? It's recorded in the book of John in two or three places. John 14, John 16. Behold, whenever I go up, I will send a comforter who will be with you, and he shall testify of me, Jesus said. Is that different from the Old Testament? Much different. Much different from the Old Testament. Now, I'm possessed by the Comforter at the moment of salvation. But there was a transition period, and there were 12 men that were living in Ephesus. They were disciples, and Paul noted something about them. He was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked a very simple question. All right? Have you been possessed by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit? All right? And what was their response? We've never even heard of a Holy Ghost, a Holy Spirit. Now, the truth was they hadn't. This was something that they had not been exposed to. John had not taught about a Holy Spirit coming to possess. Had he? No, he only spoke of Jesus, the one to come. Now we have the communication of God the Father by sending one of the Trinity and allowing that person to be inside of us. Isn't that wonderful? That one of the Trinity is a part of us now because of faith in Jesus Christ. These 12 men, we've not so much as heard of a Holy Spirit. By what baptism were you baptized? A baptism of John. And Paul said, yes, he spoke of repentance, metanoia, the changing of the mind, that there is a Savior. We're no longer looking for one. One is coming, and it will be shortly, and this Savior will be Jesus Christ. And so, what happens? The Apostle Paul meets with them. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're baptized, and he lays hands upon them. And who do they receive at that moment? The Holy Spirit. Is that different even from today? Yeah, we possess the Holy Spirit now, instantly, the moment that we are saved. So we're in the middle of this transition time where the apostles would lay hands on some and they would receive the Holy Spirit of God. There were others that received the Spirit immediately. And so we need to understand and know. Remember what happened to Peter at the house of Cornelius? He was preaching. The men believed, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And Peter said, I've just got through my final point. I guess I'll go ahead and we'll baptize them. It was a shock to him that these people, they were Gentiles. They believed, and they were possessed immediately. Folks, this is a transition period. Paul wants to be sure that these 12 men possess the Holy Spirit of God because we're transitioning to the New Testament. Paul was just a channel. He wasn't the giver of the Holy Spirit. You understand that? He was simply the channel by which God gave them the Holy Spirit. But as we get further in the book of Acts, we find that he no longer has to do that, that the Holy Spirit comes upon individuals in that regard. So this transition period, and be careful in the book of Acts. There's a lot of changes from the beginning of Acts to the end of Acts. Baptism plays a huge role at the early part of Acts, lesser so as you get to the end. So we're transitioning from the baptism of John to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's an important distinction that's made there. We still believe in baptism by water. It's an outward show. But I don't receive anything when I'm baptized. You understand that? I'm simply showing to others that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm identified with Him. And I want everybody in the circle that's gathered around me at baptism to know I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. So this is important to see. But again, don't miss this. Paul, as he's starting with this seed-formed church in Ephesus, wants to be sure that they understand the gospel. And that they understand that with the gospel comes the Holy Spirit to indwell. That's important. That's something that's necessary because we've now transitioned from an Old Testament economy where the Holy Spirit would simply come upon people for certain functions and then leave. Now the Spirit indwells us. We are now in the age of grace in which the Holy Spirit comes. I cannot tell you this morning, folks, how wonderful God is to allow His Holy Spirit to live within us so that we can have light to understand the Scriptures. You, personally, I believe in the priesthood of believers. That is, you can go to God directly. And when you can't even codify the words to say to Him in prayer, what does the Holy Spirit do? He comes in there and He mutters words that we can't utter and He speaks to the Father for us. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to have the Holy Spirit of God. It's the foundation of the church age, the coming of the Spirit to indwell believers, so that when we gather together in this fellowship right here, we can talk about the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit within it rejoices when we honor and glorify Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit testifies of Him. What a glorious, glorious aspect we have. Paul does this first. He does this first. So let's finish up with these early verses here. Look, please, with me. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. There are many groups today that follow this, but they don't understand the transition that took place in the book of Acts. And they don't understand the word tongues. Whenever there was speaking at tongues way back in Acts chapter 2, do you realize that people understood their language, the gospel that was preached? It wasn't gibberish. It wasn't glossolalia. It wasn't some unearthly language. It was languages that they understood in their tongue. If you were from Greece, you could understand because one of the prophets was speaking in a language that they could understand. In many ways, it was not just a gift of speaking, but also a gift of hearing. To hear the Word in their own language is a glorious thing. We speak today of all the different people groups in the world that still don't have a written Bible. And much of it has to be translated orally because they have nothing in writing. Do you realize that that's the way it was back then? They didn't have it in writing. They'd have the occasional letter that Paul would written, but there was no publishing houses to publish that and get it out to everybody. That wouldn't come for another nearly 1,400 years with the invention of the printing press. And today, I was talking to someone at the funeral yesterday. We were talking about how good God has been in our age to allow there to be an internet and radio and television and all the different means of communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ going around the world. For a Randy Cornelius to set up a 180-foot tower and beam out the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it bounce across the oceans and go all the way to Europe where they hear the gospel. That's just the goodness and grace of God. Where people on ships can actually tune in and hear the gospel being preached and proclaimed from a tiny island out in the Caribbean, and they're hearing it, and they're being transported across the ocean. For you to have access in your hand to the gospel of the grace of God is astounding. Just 100 years ago, wireless technology was just beginning. But nothing like what we have now in the palm of our hands to have the truth. Oh, how we need to be thankful for what God has given to us. But in these days here, it was word of mouth. Word of mouth, orally communicating, and the Holy Spirit taking the oral word that was given and working in hearts and lives to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. Do you see the transition? See how things are different even today? So, we come to verse 8. And when he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, but when divers or different ones were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Once again, a transition. Do you see it? 3 months in the synagogue, preaching and alleging Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. Was he accepted? No. They spoke evil of the way, the method. We can't have this. We don't like this. And so what does he do? He goes to an old schoolhouse and there proclaims the Word of God. Even Paul has to transition from the way he was doing things. His typical pattern was to go straight to the synagogue, communicate there with the Jews, communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. They needed the gospel, but also the Gentiles needed the gospel. So he goes to the schoolhouse of Tyrannus, and there he's able to preach and proclaim. And how long does he do that, we're told? 2 years. 2 years. And what is he doing? He's building a local church. He's building a local church centered on a person and centered on the Word of God that told them about the person of Jesus Christ. I mentioned this in Sunday school. We're living in a day where the simple preaching and teaching of the Word of God has fallen into disfavor. It's just kind of like the last thing that gets done. And we've got all kinds of entertainment, all kinds of stuff going on in the churches that are going on today, and people begin to expect the church to be this over here, this albatross of all the programs and all the things that are going on. And what happens to the simple preaching of the Word of God? There's a shift that takes place. I mentioned this. It just takes a little bit. I'm not where I was. Not where I was. I can still see where I was. But what happens as we shift from the primacy of preaching Jesus Christ and His Word, we shift to other things. Other things. I guess we were talking last night about a Beamer. I think Adam was talking about that. And there was one little function on there. Not a Beamer product was put in, but an off thing. And it caused the whole engine not to run right. When you unplugged it, it started running. When you plugged it back in, it was spitter and sputter. And the Beamers have this computer system. It is a network through the engine all the way around. It has got all these bells and whistles, and all it takes is one little thing to go wrong, and it's not running right. We all know this with modern technology, right? It seems like that the fancier it gets, the more troubles we have with it, and you can't fix it yourself. You can't be a do-it-yourselfer anymore with all these fancy technological things. You got to take it into some place and have it done. I want you to know something. Christianity is as simple as Jesus Christ. Christianity is simple as following the Word of God. Following the Word of God. I can be sitting in a hut on the other side of the world by myself and be taught Jesus Christ from His blessed Word and grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. Don't need all the bells and whistles. Don't need all the extras and extra things that are often added on and said we can't live without. And yet the early church was able to grow. And the early church was able to blossom without all of those things. My point is this. Paul made much of what needed to be made much of. And that was Jesus Christ. Preaching and teaching. What did the Jews need? They needed to know Jesus Christ was the Messiah, was the Savior of the world. He can't help the fact that they reject that and develop their own religious system to continue to promote what they believed about the Bible. That's what Judaism is, by the way. It is a manufactured religion based upon their interpretation of the Old Testament and all the different midrash and all the different writings of the rabbis and all that kind of stuff. They've got their belief system, but it's not Jesus Christ. You can go down the line of all the different religions that are in the world. We all believe the same thing, one God. No. No. They reject that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God that was sent. That makes their religion false, no matter how religious looking, how sounding it can be. And the same thing is true. When we get away from the simplicity of the preaching of this book and we start focusing on other things, start focusing on these things over here, what's happening to this is diminished. It's not as important as it used to be. And Paul focuses for 2 years on building a local church in Ephesus. And buddy, did he stay connected with it. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, we find that on his trip to Rome, he stops off on the island of Miletus. None of us have ever been there, I don't think. Anybody ever been to the island of Miletus? Yeah. And he asks, go get the Ephesian elders and have them meet me here. So the Ephesian elders come. And you know what he says to them? Turn over to Acts chapter 20. He speaks to them. Notice, please, verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He's speaking to the Ephesian elders. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Everywhere he went, he said, the Holy Spirit just keeps telling me I'm going to be dealing with afflictions and bonds. Well, that's not positive. Why are you saying this, Paul? You shouldn't be thinking about that. No, he was being told, you're going to face this. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, who is the ye all? The Ephesian elders that had come there, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, if I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. What was the elder's responsibility? Provide entertainment? Make sure they had a lot of fun? No, he said, feed the flock of God. What else does he say? Over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, what's going to happen? Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He warns them. He tells them, there's going to be wolves. They're going to come in and they're not going to spare the flock. They're going to hurt and they're going to harm. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now we know something further about Paul in Ephesus. How many total years was he there? 3 years working with that local church. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Simple local church philosophy right there. It's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Now, it's a blessing to receive. But what's more blessed? It's to give. It's to give. And he's not just talking about money. A lot of preachers will just focus in on that. Hey, you're talking about money, giving money, got to give money to the church. No. What did the Corinthians do? They first gave themselves to the Apostle Paul. They gave themselves. That's the giving that's required. This church became the heart and soul of the Apostle Paul. And who does he leave in charge when he goes? A young man by the name of Timothy. And Timothy becomes her pastor. What a beautiful picture is given here in the continuity. The focus is upon the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Folks, in this third missionary journey, the leading of God in his life, put him in one location on the third missionary trip, which became his primary ministry. It was not that he didn't visit other places, but Ephesus became his main focal point on the third missionary journey. And it was to build people up in the Word of God. He even wrote a letter to him. It's included in our Bible, the book of Ephesians. 6 chapters long for the English. Divided it up into chapters, but that was not how he wrote it. He wrote it in paragraphs and sent that to him because it became a church that he loved dearly. Communicating and teaching. And whenever you study Acts, when you get to chapter 19, always study the book of Ephesians with that on the third missionary journey because you see his heart. See the truth that he gives out concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ and growing in that gospel. Growing in that gospel to know Christ more fully. The emphasis upon the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Lord, you put him in this place for 3 years, we're told, teaching the Word of God. Oh, facing pushback from the Jews, having to set up shop in an old school building, School of Tyrannus, and there communicating the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our own hearts and lives. It's easy to get distracted by all the sounds of the world and all the sounds of religion and all the things that are meant not to grow us in the Word, but rather to take us away from that Word. I pray that you would help us to understand and know that your leading is always in line with what you've said in your Word. There is no new word of knowledge. We have everything that you want us to know written right in your book. I pray that we would be people of the book. I pray that we would not be drawn aside by all the things that are being done today and called church, when in many respects it's a distraction from the main purpose, and that is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts today. There's a lost and dying world out there. We have people that we work with every day that are without Christ. Lord, may we have compassion on them. Reach out to them. Share the gospel with them. Let them know that we're a follower of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we make much of Christ everywhere that we go. When we're at a restaurant, to make sure that we share a word of testimony with the waitress, not dominating their time, but just letting them know we're Christians and we want you to know Jesus Christ. Gospel tract left behind. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts to be more interactive with folks all around us. And not simply just live our lives in the middle of this world and we just kind of keep to ourselves. No, Lord. The Apostle Paul was not like that. He went to the synagogue and he openly alleged the kingdom of God before them. He went to those 12 men and asked them a question, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" He was concerned about them. He wanted them to know the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and its full understanding. May we have that kind of concern as well. We pray that you'd work in our hearts in a very powerful way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's close to number 457. 457, and we want to sing that second verse. More about Jesus, let me learn. Spirit of God, my teacher be, along the lines of what we've heard this morning, learning more about Christ. Let's stand together and sing that second verse.
More about Jesus.
Father, we do thank you for your word that teaches us about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, I just ask that as we continue on with you, with your Holy Spirit's guidance, as we study your word, as we learn about Christ, that we would understand and uncover the depths of who you are, of what you've done for us, of your love for us, Lord, that will then impact and influence our lives to respond to you in such a great way. Lord, thank you so much for Christ this morning and for all that he did in coming to pay for our sins and to giving us that free gift of grace and salvation. Lord, thank you that we can know about that through the Holy Spirit and continue to help us to explore that deep, deep mind of the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, just ask your blessings upon each one today and just give us a good week, we pray now in Christ's name. Amen. Lord bless you.